Well, Merry Christmas. Christmas is kind of a big deal, isn't it? It is a big deal. It's a big deal all over the world, even for people that aren't Christians. Everyone seems to love Christmas. Very few people hate Christmas. I don't know if I've ever met anyone that hates Christmas. I think even if somebody did not like Christmas, they'd probably keep it a secret. Yeah, there's a stigma attached to it. Well, Christmas is a big deal, and it should be a big deal. Because Christmas is the time that we celebrate the birth of our Savior. And one of the things that we have to be careful about is we hear that so often and we think about it, maybe not as often as we should, but it just becomes routine. Okay, Jesus was born. Okay, joy to the world. Okay, all of these sorts of things. But we don't really think about what that actually means or what Jesus did and why he came. And we think that we have all the facts in line, and we understand it, we've heard it, we've grown up listening to it, but do we really understand how important Christmas is? Because he did come, and he had a mission. It was a very clear mission. And Matthew 1:21 defines that mission for us. And why don't you turn there, take a look at that text together. Very clear mission. And this really is a theme throughout the New Testament for Jesus. Jesus himself said it. His disciples said it, who wrote scriptures, said it. And from the very beginning, the New Testament says it. In verse 21, and we can read the story there, beginning in verse 19 of Matthew 1, it says, "And her husband, Joseph," speaking of Mary's husband, "being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly." Why did he do that? Well, because she was pregnant as a virgin. "But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus,'" and here's his mission, "for he will save his people from their sins." That's why Jesus came. The Apostle Paul affirms this message in 1 Timothy 1:15. He says, "This is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance." In other words, believe this, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's why Jesus came. He didn't come to make you happy and healthy. He didn't come to do all of these things that we want Jesus to do for us. He came to save you from your sin. And if you're unfamiliar with sin, sin is very simple. It's a violation of God's law. God is your creator. You are dependent on him. I talked about that this morning. Self-sufficiency is an illusion. It doesn't exist. The proof of that is the fact that we all have to breathe oxygen that we don't create. We all have to eat food that we don't create. We are dependent creatures, dependent on God. And he created us to worship and to obey him. But all of us have gone astray. We've all sinned. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. We've rebelled against God. And the result of that rebellion is death. This is why we all die. We all die because all have sinned. And of course, not only do we face physical death, but all of us have to face God's judgment. The Bible says that it's appointed for man to die once and then the judgment. It's where we face God's condemnation and wrath for eternity. And this is true of all of us. And the proof that we have a sin problem is the fact that we all die. That's proof. The Bible says all die because all sin. That's pretty clear, straightforward, isn't it? We have a sin problem. And apart from what we celebrate at Christmas, you really only have two options to deal with your sin problem. And this, I believe, every person deals with their sin in one of these two ways. The first way is you can ignore it. You can ignore it. You could just pretend it doesn't exist. And that's what most people do, you know. You try to live your life the best way that you can. Ignore any concept of sin that makes you uncomfortable. And that doesn't mean that you're going to be a terrible criminal or anything like that. It just means you're not going to pay much attention to it. You're going to be indifferent to this whole thing that people keep talking about, this whole sin thing. And any interest that you might have in God, it has a lot less to do with sin and more to do with helping you make your life better. You're willing to hear what religious people have to say if it's going to help you feel better about something, help you improve your life or increase your comfort or give you a sense of purpose or belonging, and very little to do with sin. In other words, people like that, they really don't have any conviction, no real understanding of what the Bible says. Maybe they're searching for some sort of feeling, but the fact is that you can just read it and believe it. It's there. Or you can say, I don't want to believe that. There's another category of people. You can try to make up for it. And this is a common approach for many people who do recognize that there is a moral authority or a God that they are accountable to. They try to make up for it. But this is really what separates Christianity from every other religion. Most religions, not all, but most religions have a system in place through which you can earn God's favor. Something that you can do to help you make yourself good with God. This is true for every major religious system. In fact, if you wanted to summarize the approach of every religion in regards to sin, you can summarize it in one of these two ways. They either try to make up for it through works, or they just pretend sin doesn't exist. Those are the two ways. One of those two things. You can ignore it, or you can try to make up for it. We all have sin, and that much is clear. And if your only two options are to either ignore it or to make up for it through your own efforts, you're in trouble. You're in deep trouble because neither of those can erase your sin or make atonement for your sin. You can't get rid of sin through self-deception. And you can't get rid of sin by trying to earn God's favor. You may not be as bad of a sinner as some people, but that doesn't mean that you don't have sin. I often use cancer as an illustration. Maybe some people have more life-threatening cancer than you do, but that doesn't change the fact that you have the same disease. Those are your only two options without Jesus. The birth of Jesus is good news of great joy. Why? Because he came to save people from their sins. He came to save you, he came to save me, and he is the only Savior. There is no other Savior. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we can be saved. It's only Jesus Christ. And that was his mission. He was born to die for our sins. He said it himself in Mark 10:45. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to take upon himself the wrath of God on our behalf so that we could be saved. You see, Christmas is a big deal. That's why we sing these songs. That's why we celebrate together. It's because in the person of Jesus Christ, God fulfills his design for salvation. God with us, Emmanuel. And he does it not by telling us to minimize sin as if it doesn't exist, and not telling us how to earn his favor, but through placing our complete trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ. This is good news of great joy for everyone who trusts in him. What you and I could not do, Jesus does on our behalf. The penalty that we deserve for our sin, the death that we deserve, he takes for us. He dies so that we could be free from sin and reconciled to our Heavenly Father who loves us. This is why Jesus came. And He is the only one who can do that. There is nothing else that will save you from your sin but Christ and faith in Him. Faith in Christ is what redeems you and what will save you. See, through Jesus Christ, God invites all of us to leave our life of sin, whatever it is that you're struggling with. He invites us to leave that life, to turn from all that dishonors Him, and to come to Him for salvation. He promises that to us who put our faith and trust in Him. And I've been praying for tonight, and I don't know all of you. I recognize many of you. Some of you I don't recognize. I haven't seen you before. And I'm glad you're here. But my prayer is that you wouldn't leave here tonight without knowing your Savior, without knowing that you have a Savior. Because that's why He came. And that's the gospel that we proclaim, that Christ Himself died. He took upon Himself the penalty that you deserve, so that you could be saved from sin. And He calls you to a big fancy word. It's called repent. Turn from the sin that condemns you and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And if you do that, His promise to you is that He'll save you. Past, present, and future. Every sin that you've committed, every sin that you will commit in the future, is all forgiven if you're trusting in Christ. That's good news, is it not? And that's not anything that we would have access to if it wasn't for Christmas. Charles Spurgeon, you guys know I like Charles Spurgeon. Well, those of you that know me. He was preaching the gospel one night, and he decided that he wanted to give the people who were listening to him a test. And I want to give you the same test. And I want you to be honest with yourself. And we're not going to pass out paper or anything like that. This is something that you do in the quietness of your own hearts. I want you to get a piece of paper when you get home tonight and think about this. And I'm just going to ask you, if you are trusting in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, if you know that you are forgiven for your sin because of what Christ has done for you, if that is your hope and that is your confidence, and maybe your confidence right now is shaky. Maybe there's sins that you're struggling with. And sometimes when we struggle with sin and we refuse to be obedient, we're shaky and we're not sure of our salvation. That's why I've often said the most miserable person in this world is a Christian who refuses to obey God. It's the most miserable person in the world. It would be easier for you to just be a heathen and forget about all of this Christianity stuff than it would be to you try to live your life apart from obedience to Him. But that's a side issue from what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about is your confidence in Christ for your salvation. Are you trusting in Him? Not your church attendance, not your giving, not your Bible reading, nothing else. Are you trusting in Christ for salvation? If you are, write on that piece of paper, forgiven. But if you're not, if there is anything else you are trusting in, if you want to throw out this whole God thing as a bunch of mumbo-jumbo, a bunch of ridiculous garbage that only really stupid people believe, if that's you, then write down on that piece of paper, condemned. I pray and I hope that every person here will write down the words forgiven, because that's why Jesus came, to save us from our sins. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for sending Jesus. Thank You for Christmas. And God, surely there are some here who perhaps at one time believed and were following You, but maybe they've gone off the path a little bit, Lord. God, I pray for them. Father, I pray that coming here, they would experience Your love and Your kindness and Your grace and Your mercy. Father, Your Son, Jesus Christ, said in His word, a bruised reed You will not break. Father, many people here are fragile. I pray, God, that You would deal with them lightly, but deal with them, Lord. Help them come back to the truth, come back to the Savior. And I pray for those whose hearts have been hardened against you. Maybe there's something they're struggling with. Maybe some bitterness or anger or pride, or maybe sin is overwhelming them and they have no victory over it, Lord. God, I pray that they would find freedom and forgiveness in Christ. You, your Son, said to us, "Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble." God, I pray that they would see your grace in that. And Father, I pray again, as I've been praying this evening, that nobody would leave this building without knowing where they stand before you. And I pray that they would walk out with joy in knowing the Savior. I pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.